we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast. We are so happy to spend the next half hour with you. Had a number of emails over the past few days and people commenting and telling us that they had listened to us on the radio. And so we want to say thank you to you for that feedback. And like I said, my name is Bob Arthurs. I have the privilege of pastoring Merritt Assembly of God on Merritt Island. And we pray that you are planning on having a great weekend this week, that you are going to honor your mother and your wife and treat your daughters like the apple of God's eye. And so this week we have a ladies event going on Saturday. My wife will be speaking on that, and then we're going to be having a service where the message will be, it'll be geared toward the whole audience, but it'll have a female emphasis, if you will. But I don't try and exclude anybody. I try and make my message universally applicable, and so that's what we're going to be doing. And we got some exciting things coming up this week. And I do need to let you know that we will not be having Sunday night service this week, because we take that opportunity to honor the women in our lives. And listen, my wife, this week or this month, I think she's pretty much going every Saturday of the entire month, which means she's working Monday through Friday all month long, and then she's going every Sunday all month long. There's one Monday that because of Memorial Day that she gets off, and so we want to take as much time as we can to honor the women that we have in our lives. And so, ladies, we want you to know that we appreciate you and all that you do. So that's a little bit of what's coming up at Merritt Assembly of God this weekend. So some changes coming up in our scheduling in the very near future. And so we'll make those announcements. But we do want to share with you that Jerry Hill of the Brownsville Revival, her husband Steve, her and her husband were actually missionaries down in South America and being used by God before they were used to bring revival to America back in the 1990s. And we're looking forward to what she's going to be sharing with us June the 10th, Saturday night, and June the 11th, Sunday morning. So put those on your calendars. That is now a month away, a little less than a month, 30 days. And so would you be praying with us for a mighty move of God? We'll be sharing more details about what's coming up, time frames and all of that in the days ahead. So today I want to take you to Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah, the 62nd chapter. Really excited about this word. And so like I always do when I start a new chapter, I'm going to read the whole thing. We're not going to touch on every verse in detail, but I've got a note here talking about what a great chapter this is in the Word of God. If you've never focused on Isaiah chapter 62, we're getting ready to change that. Isaiah chapter 62. Here it is. Verse number 1, "For Zion's sake I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a lamp that burns. The Gentiles shall see your righteousness and all kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name which the mouth of the Lord will name. You shall also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no longer be termed forsaken, nor shall your land any more be termed desolate, but you shall be called Hephzibah, and your land Beulah, For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a virgin, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent, and give him no rest until he establishes, and give him no rest till he establishes, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no longer give your grain as food for your enemies, and the sons of the foreigner shall not drink your new wine for which you have labored. But those who have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord. Those who have brought it together shall drink it in my holy courts. Go through the gates. Prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway. Take out the stones. Lift up a banner for the peoples. Indeed, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the world, say to the daughter of Zion, surely your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him, and they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Amen and amen. What a great passage of scripture. So I want to start off this morning by giving you a little bit of a secret on the motives of God. Someone at our church, our missionaries, the Garrisons, they introduced a statement to us, and that was this, that God doesn't waste anything. God doesn't waste anything. He makes the most out of every opportunity. And so I want to share with you just a little bit about what I see in this passage of scripture that might help you to disarm the temptation of the enemy. A week ago, we had Greg Wynn, who did an outstanding job with music ministry at our church and played three different styles of saxophone and sang some songs to soundtracks, and it was just a great night of ministry. Our people responded at prayer the next morning and say, you know, I could really appreciate his talent, but I appreciated the spirit that he ministered in as well. And one of the songs that he did was a rendition of Shout to the Lord, and he called it a classic, and I was like, you know, that's rough on us when we're calling things classic that I can remember when they were brand new. And as I was worshiping the Lord, there was a line in there that says this: nothing compares to you. Nothing compares to you. And all of a sudden, I realized that statement is a weapon in our arsenal to defeat temptation and discouragement whenever problems come our way, that whenever there is a temptation that comes and the devil tries to entice us, we can look at that and say, that doesn't compare with the goodness of God. It's not worth the price. And whenever there's a giant that stands up in opposition to us, we can look at that giant and say, you're nothing compared to the magnitude of my God. Whenever a financial need appears, we can say the size of that hole is nothing compared to the provision that God has. Whenever we're faced with a sickness or a disease, we can look at that and say that's nothing compared to the stripes that Jesus received upon his back, by whose stripes I was and am healed. And so it just was something that struck me, and I really appreciated it. I have a book in my library, and it's titled this, For God's Sake, Grow Up. It was written by a man by the name of David Ravenhill. His father was Leonard Ravenhill, who wrote the book Why Revival Tarries. And in that book, he says, grow up, for God's sake, grow up. And, you know, the world tends to use that as an exclamatory phrase in a derogatory manner. But he uses it in this sense, that if you won't grow up for your own sake, if you won't grow up for the benefit of your kids, would you do it for the sake of God? Would you do it for God? And kind of along those lines, I want to go back to verse number 1 of Isaiah 62 for you today and read this to you again. I've got a pastor that I know, and he said, when you read the Bible, you have to read the Bible. You need to focus on what it says. You don't need to just gloss over the words. And so let me reread verse number 1 for you. It says, "For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a lamp that burns." And in that verse is the secret to how God operates in your life and my life. And he operates for our sake. Not for the sake of our convenience. Not for the sake of our comfort, not for the sake of what we want. He operates for the sake of our benefit. It is for our good. Jesus said that it was expedient for us that he returned to the Father, because in returning to the Father, he was going to be able to dispatch the Holy Spirit on our behalf, who would never leave us and never forsake us, just like, and he would and equip us with power. And so you and I, we need to realize that every time God operates in our life, he does it for our sake. And in fact, he says that the sake that he is operating in is for the sake of our righteousness, the sake of our salvation, and the sake of our testimony before the nations. Those are some of the things that God is operating on. He does it for our sake, and he is very passionate about it. I want you to know today that there's no need to pray and say, "God, would you stir yourself from your slumber today to do something on my behalf?" You know, I've been in leadership of people most of my adult life. Everywhere I went, I ended up generally starting at the bottom of the ladder, and eventually I would rise to leadership. And I can tell you that some of the biggest challenges with employees were those employees where you were trying to have to force them to do something. That was always that's a fatiguing process. A pastor said that, actually, this wasn't a comment that he made directly to us, but it was repeated to us by the person who was his youth pastor. His youth pastor kept going in and asking questions, and the pastor asked them, and then he asked more questions, and the pastor answered them. And finally, after several weeks of this, the pastor looked at him and said, "Look, if I have to constantly tell you how to do your job, one of us is unnecessary." And a lot of people have encountered workers who were kind of negligent or slack in their jobs. And a lot of times Christians will take that mindset that's the way that God is, that he's not doing anything on our behalf. And I want you to know that this scripture proves that God is not being slothful. He is not being lazy. He is not being negligent in his responsibilities, but he is passionate and zealous for your sake. Listen to what it says. He says, "For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace." And I want you to know that God is no respecter of persons. So what he would do for the people who walked in covenant with him in the Old Testament, he will do for you. And that is, he said this, "I'm not going to hold my peace. I'm not going to be silent. I am not going to stop speaking. I am going to continue to cause my word to go forth for your sake." What if I told you that the reason that you needed to be in the house of God this weekend wasn't for the benefit of the church necessarily, although that is something that happens, but you needed to be in church this week for your sake. You need to be in church this week for the sake of your marriage. You need to be in church this week for the sake of your kids. You see, God wants to speak into your life. And I talked on a program, I think it was last week, about muting the voice of God. God does not wish to remain silent when it comes to speaking in our lives, because when he speaks, it's for our benefit. What if instead of looking at God with a negative mental framework where the devil will try and convince us that God is just trying to keep us from having fun and trying to keep us from enjoying life? What if we looked at it and said, you know what? When God is speaking to my life and he is placing parameters on my life and guides on my life and his word is restraining me, that he's actually speaking for my benefit, not to my detriment. Because that is the reality. That is the reality. God is not giving himself rest. Even when you are running away from him, even when you have chosen the broad path that leads to destruction instead of the straight and narrow that leads to life, God is still speaking. He is standing in the path. And he says, the only way that you will go to hell is over my dead body. I will stand here and I will speak and I will warn you and encourage you and try and get you to turn around, because everything that God does in your life is for your sake, for the sake of your salvation, for the sake of your righteousness, and for the sake of those that you interact with. He says, I'm not going to hold my peace. I'm not going to shut my mouth. I'm going to continue to speak. I think of John the Baptist when I see something like that, who was trying to get Herod to repent of his sin, and Herod imprisoned him, and he would cry out. And Herod and John had conversations. But the conversation was, Herod, you've got some issues in your life, and they will destroy you if you allow them to. You need to get those things out of your life. God's word, whether it's a word of encouragement or a word of correction, it will always be for your benefit. Let's go on and say next. We'll see what's next. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest. And so here again, he says, for the sake of my people, for the sake of those that I have entered into covenant with and have chosen to dwell in my city under my protection, that Jerusalem, the city of David, the city of peace, he said, I'm not going to rest. I'm not going to rest for their sake. And so I want you to know today that God is very animated, and he's very vocal for your sake and for my sake. There's a passage a little bit further down in the passage, in verse number 7. It says, I've set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent, and give him no rest till he establishes, until he makes Jerusalem a praise on the earth. Could we do that today? Could we say, God, continue to speak. God, continue to be active until this city, Brevard County, from north to south, east to west, until this place is a praise for God in all the earth. We don't want God just sitting around twiddling his thumbs. That's not what he does. He is very active and he's very vocal, speaking for the sake of his people. And he goes on and says, I'm going to do this until her righteousness goes forth as brightness. You know, I'm gonna mention this. We had a visitor in one of our services recently, and I'm telling you that out of all of the people that I have ever met in my life, and I know some wonderful, wonderful people. I want you to know, Merit Assembly of God's got some awesome people. We are blessed with high quality, high caliber saints of God. But I met this person, and the radiance of God that exuded from this person was captivating. I'm telling you, they were a delight to be able to be around. I'm telling you that God has spoken into that person's life, that God has been active in her life. And even though you might not be able to have the type of conversation that you'd, there was something that you just knew that this person knew Jesus. Jesus was the core of her personality, and it was just absolutely amazing. And so I think that God is looking to speak into our life and be active in our life so that his righteousness comes forth out of us, that we shine brightly for him, that people will know that we are his children before we even say a word, that they will know that we are followers of Jesus Christ by our actions, not just by the words that we say. You know, I didn't intend to say all this stuff about the Garrisons, but while they were in Fiji, they were in the grocery store one day, or in a store over there, and as they were walking up and down the various aisles, a person stopped one of them and said, "You are a Christian, aren't you? We ought to be able to tell." I watched a video of a journalist who was interviewing a woman whose husband had been martyred for the faith in a country that is very hostile to Christianity right now, even though Christianity was once a very influential in that country's history. And the woman, as she was being interviewed, said, "My husband forgave those who killed him before they killed him. And I forgive those who killed him, and I pray for their forgiveness." And as the journalist who was doing the interview heard that, he was speechless for a number of seconds. And then he said that these type of believers are made up of a different type of fabric than the rest of the people in his country, a country where Christianity is in the minority. Can we ask God, "God, would you continue to speak into my life? God, would you continue to be active in purifying me till my righteousness becomes, it comes forth, it goes forth as brightness so that people would say there is something different about you than the others that I encounter in this society. Righteousness should be one of the spotlights that operates in our life so people would know that God is alive." And he goes on, he says, "Until righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a lamp that burns." Okay, I don't know if you've ever been in a fire. I have. It's a highly motivating factor. One night we were, my wife was doing laundry, and she said, "Honey, the dryer is making this really loud squealing sound," and so I went out, and turns out the dryer had a bearing that had seized up on it. And so I said, "You know, that doesn't sound good." And so I reached over and I turned off the dryer. And when I turned the dryer off, it erupted into flames. And at that point in time, it was very motivating. I had been in bed prior to this, so I was pretty sleepy. But all of a sudden, when there's a fire, there's something that says, you know what, this is going to require an action. And so there was a phone call made to 911. Sheriff's deputies came and firemen came. And they were all just as motivated as I was, because there was something that was burning. And it said, this is going to, if it goes unattended, it is going to touch the entire house. Fortunately for us, it didn't burn anything. God was very good to us. There wasn't even a burn mark on the concrete or on the walls or anything like that. It was all self-contained in the dryer. We got it out, and we're very thankful. But I want to ask you today, is salvation burning inside of you? Is it not just a lamp, but is it something that is highly motivating you? Not just your own salvation, not just the salvation of your family members, but the salvation of those around you who are like you, and the salvation of those around you who are completely different than you. You see, too many times we are guilty of what happened in the Old Testament to a large extent. And that is that people thought that only their group was the group that God was interested in bringing salvation to. But listen to what it says, that the Gentiles shall see your righteousness and all kings your glory. You see, the reason that God is operating in your life, in my life, with a constant flow of speaking and decreeing from the throne, and the reason that he is very animated and active in our life and ordering our steps and directing our path and positioning people with divine appointments and all of those things, is because he wants righteousness to burn brightly in your life. He wants salvation to be a motivating force in your life, and he wants it to touch the world. I don't know if you're, I mean, maybe it's just me, but when I was preparing for this broadcast and I saw this, it was like, man, I couldn't wait to get in here today to share with you that God is speaking and acting for your sake, and he wants to continue to do so until righteousness and salvation are highly visible, active forces in your life that will touch the nations of the world. God, speak. God, move. Do everything that needs to be done, O God, so that righteousness in my life and righteousness at Merit Assembly of God and salvation throughout this county, O God, and salvation for those who are like us and salvation around the world becomes a visible characteristic. God, speak, and God, move for your glory. We'll see you next time here on the Refresh Radio broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.